a member of the Garnet Health System, garnethealth.org, and from listeners like you who donate at wjffradio.org.
Hey now, welcome. It's the Local Edition, Community News for Catskills in Northeast Pennsylvania. I'm your host, Patricio Robayo. In the second half of the show, we'll be checking in with photographer Noah Kalina about his new show opening this weekend at the Catskill Art Society, The Laundry King. But first, it's Friday on the Local Edition, and every Friday we check in with the Shawangunk Journal and the reporter Chris Rowley to see what's going on in Ellaville and Ulster County. Chris, are you there?
Yes, hi there. I'm here. Yep.
Hi, Chris. How are you doing? Unfortunately, the cases are going back up in Sullivan County, and I'm sure it's the same in Ulster County. And now with school back to, school is going back, and the infection rate is going up. What are you seeing in your reporting as far as the infection rate, and also what's going on with the vaccine administration? It seems like the vaccine, there was an uptick a little bit when the Delta variant took hold. But now it seems to be waning. Do you find that in your reporting?
What we're seeing with the Ulster County is there was an uptick. It seems to have stabilized. There may even be a little decline. In the town of Walworthing, it has definitely dropped by about 10 active infections, down to 43 that are recorded at this point. Now, remember, we're dealing with a moving data point. It depends upon people actually reporting infection and so on and so forth. But it does seem like there was an uptick, probably the Delta variant, which we know is in Ulster County, and now it seems to have slowed or stopped, which could mean that people have wisened up, got smart, and they've all put their masks back on, and they're being more careful because they are seeing on the national news the sort of like catastrophe that started to occur in Florida and Texas, which also I believe has kind of stabilized. And again, I think that may be down to people realized they were, setting themselves up for death or a risk of death, and they began to behave more sensibly. But we don't know yet. What we do know is that, and this is a little troubling, is that it does appear that for people over 75, the vaccine effectiveness is wearing off at 6 months. So the booster shot thing is really coming into focus. And we are all, that is everybody over the age of probably 65 or 60, needs to be thinking about getting a booster shot as soon as it becomes possible.
Right. And that's coming around the corner, because many of those people, I believe the vaccine was, that population was eligible early on in January and February. So that population should be getting soon, the booster shot when it becomes available. I know in Sullivan County, there's at least one pharmacy who's already gearing up in Calicoon to provide the booster shot when it's available.
I think that's what we're going to see. I made some calls last week about it. Health providers, family health institute, and so on, weren't sure, but they thought it wouldn't be till next month. But their thinking may accelerate as the president's insistence that everybody get vaccinated now comes into force. There's going to be more pressure for this. And the information that we're getting from CDC does seem brutally simple. I mean, really, people who aren't getting vaccinated need to think about it like this. If you're vaccinated, you're 5 times less likely to get infected. You're 10 times less likely to end up in hospital, and you're 10 times less likely to die. That should be enough. But, it's become politically correct for people on the Republican or right-wing or libertarian side of things to not be vaccinated. And I honestly do not understand that. And the question I have for anybody who's thinking like this, to look in the mirror and say to themselves, do I understand how the immune system works? Do I know what B cells do? Do I know what T1 cells and all the other T cells do? Do I understand how it all operates? And do I realize why vaccines work? And if you don't, then you are really just basically, you know, fooling yourself. And it's sort of like, you know, risking death. For what?
No, definitely.
To be politically correct?
Am I wrong? It's the majority of the cases that are in the hospital now are the unvaccinated. So it should be a wake-up call to some of these people who are not looking to get vaccinated for any reason. I know there's a few people out there in the community who are medically cannot get it, and obviously there are reasons for it. But for the mass majority, you know, are eligible for the vaccination. I think there's still no reason the only way we could really do away with this pandemic. Now, switching gears here from the pandemic to another news thing. Tomorrow is 20 years anniversary of 9/11, and I'm sure there will be events in your area. There's plenty of events in Sullivan County that are going on, memorializing the event and remembering those who passed away. What events are happening in your neck of the woods?
Right. Okay. Tomorrow in Liberty Square in Allenville at 6 p.m., there will be a ceremony to remember the tragedy of 9/11. You know, I think it will be a little more serious and well attended than it has been in recent years, this being the 20th anniversary. And it is kind of amazing, is it not, that it really is 20 years since that dreadful day. But, that's where we are.
I was talking to the fire coordinator, John Hoschold, for Sullivan County, and we were just talking about the same thing. We cannot believe it's been 20 years already that that has passed. And we were remembering where we were on that day, because a lot of people are usually thinking the same thing when that happened. Where were you on that day that happened? And those memories come flooding back, and then it hits you. You can't believe it's 20 years already.
Really? Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it was astonishing. You know, I was no longer living in the city and hadn't lived in the city for, you know, more than 10 years at that point. But, you know, I couldn't help but think, you know, what it would have been like had I still been living in my apartment in the East Village. I'd have been up on the roof watching the horror unfold because we had very good view of the trade towers from that building. But, you know, it's astonishing, you know. What those was it? About 20 young men, 19 of them Saudi Arabians, a couple of them Egyptians, did really change the course of history. And I mean, from that terrible action, they not only killed nearly 3,000 people here in this country, but they caused us to kill hundreds of thousands of people elsewhere. I mean, it's. It was an extraordinary and terrible event.
As you can see, the effects are still with us today. Look what's happened with Afghanistan. You know, the reason we went to war there was because of 9/11, and you know, 20 years later, the anniversary is coming up, and we're just ending that war.
And I think it has come home to everybody. Changing the culture, the social culture of Afghanistan from where it is, which is sort of like about 1500 in our terms, AD, is not feasible. Not with, you know, just a military operation. The entire world would have to pitch in. There would have to be, you know, trillions spent to do this. And I doubt that it would actually work. Those kind of social changes take a long time to work, to actually come into play. Remembering that Afghanistan is a rural country, villages, you know, with ancient blood feuds and all of that kind of stuff that we left behind a long, long time ago, long before there was even colonization here in the United States. So, you know, what we thought we were doing is hard to imagine. But, you know, it's over, and now we have to wait to see if the horrible Taliban have learned their lesson and, you know, will do their best to make sure that there isn't terrorism growing there that will affect other parts of the world. Because if they do allow terrorism, they have to know that we aren't going to sit still for it. You know, so we'll see.
Right, right. It's a different world that we live in now. Just 20 years ago, terrorism wasn't a common word. And now, 20 years later, terrorism, you know, is a very common word and something we, you know, I just remember I was around 9/11, living in the city. And just remember, you know, the time before when you used to go to Times Square or go to Grand Central Station and not see police with long arm rifles. But once 9/11 happened, it was just a completely new world. And it took a while to get used to seeing armed people, armed police at you know, major sites. Now it's a common thing, and you go see any major city now, you see that thing. And it's, you know, brought on by this, you know, the world of terrorism, which has always been around. It just seems like 9/11, terrorism came to our doorstep, and that's what brought up to, you know, to the forefront, and that's what we're remembering 20 years later.
Yeah, well, you know, we had a warning 10 years before that, right? You know, another crazy, Islamist shaken his followers, tried to blow up the trade towers. They put a truck full of explosives in there, and it failed, right? But we didn't take that heed. We didn't heed that warning. And maybe this is the way it always works, that, like it is with this pandemic, you know. We're very slow at actually waking up to these dangers and taking effective action. But now, I mean, Patricio, where we were in before 2001, 9/11, and where we are now in terms of surveillance, the effectiveness of our anti-terrorist activity by all the various agencies, it's light years. We're in a completely different world now. So, you know, I don't think you can come to this country and take flying lessons, but without learning how to land. I don't think that's going to be possible anymore.
Yeah, no, there's so many things changed, and so many things that, you know, we didn't even think about back then, 20 years ago. Now it's, you know, it's like I said, it's normal. Like even just going to the airport and how that experience has changed of 9/11. Chris, we're ending here. I always love talking to you. You have so much to say, and just folks want to hear more of you. You'll be coming up on the next Reporters Roundtable. That's going to be coming up in Radio Chaskill on September 18th. So you can check that out and hear more of Chris there. Before we go, is there anything else our listeners should know?
Well, we have a nice little piece of good news. If anybody's interested, Ellenville has now got a nice pop-up cafe operation going at the Reservoir Studio on the eastern end of Canal Street in Ellenville. And there was another thing. Oh, yes. And quickly, that's a nice thing. That's happening on the weekends, 8 a.m. onwards. Good coffee and pastries at Reservoir Studio, which is down at the eastern end of Canal Street. Look it up online and get the address and so on. If you're interested, it's good. It's like a daytime morning pub with families and dogs and people, and it's a lot of fun. Another thing to take note of, and another sign of the changes that are coming, there's a new grocery that's opened in Accord, which has been a very quiet little hamlet.
Is a grocery store opening up in that area? Is that a sign of growth for that area?
It's a sign of growth, and I think it's a sign of the slow shift of population. You know, there are older people, older population. Inevitably, there's only one way out of this, as Jim Morrison said, nobody gets out of here alive. But now there's a new population that's coming in that's really interested in, you know, interesting vegetables, brews, pastries, you know, that kind of thing. So there's a new market right there in Accord in the town of Rochester, which is something that's interesting. Oh, and before we leave Rochester, the town board is now thinking about buying Skate Time. There may be a referendum later this year. And Skate Time is, and if you haven't ever been up 209, it's this enormous building that was built for roller skating. It could also be basketball courts. I mean, I don't know what else you could do in there. Oh, and if I was doing it, there'd be indoor soccer. But that's another thing. But it's going to be.
I like that idea, Chris. I'm with you on that one.
It'd be great. I mean, it'd be futsal. There's nothing like being on a hard floor with a futsal ball. But, you know, for whatever happens there, and I think it probably will be roller skating primarily, there's one end of it, which was a kind of a skate park thing. That's going to be, could easily be town offices and town hall, and it will be a giant upgrade for Rochester, which is working out of a tiny little building. Right. So that's another thing to take note of.
Definitely. Well, Chris, thank you for joining us again on the Local Edition and letting us know what's happening in Ellenville and Ulster County. Again, you could check out Chris's writing in the Shawanagung Journal and News Atomic. Again, Chris, thanks for joining us, and we'll see you 2 weeks from now.
Okay. All right. Thanks. Good talking with you. And please, everybody, get vaccinated. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, you're listening to the Local Edition. We'll be back. And we'll be talking to Noah Kalina.
And more on a day of remembrance and reflection this Saturday, September 11th. Special coverage from Weekend Edition and NPR News starts at 8 a.m. and continues in place of Radio Chatskill, Farm and Country, and Catskill Character. Specials continue in the afternoon with in-depth features from the BBC, Peace Talks Radio, and WNYC in place of Janice Adams, Josh Fox, Jambalaya, and Now and Then. Special September 11th programming here on Radio Catskill.
Support for Radio Catskill comes from the Somewhere Co. Summer Pop-Up Shop, offering art and design for the home from local and regional artists and makers. 26 Erie Avenue, across from the Narrowsburg Union. Some-Ware.co. From the Jeffersonville Farmers Market, every Sunday from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., next to the Jeffersonville Bake Shop on Main Street. JeffersonvilleFarmersMarket.com.
Hi, this is Angela Page, host of Folk Plus. I spend my week listening to new releases that arrive, and I match them to old songs that I treasure and wrap them around a theme. I hope you'll join me Sundays, 4 to 5, for Folk Plus.
In times like these, I often feel the need to gather with the dear ones that I treasure.
September 30th, Radio Catskill is honoring healthcare heroes at our 2021 Community Awards. We're going to be honoring healthcare heroes who made a difference in their communities through extraordinary contributions in the face of uncertainty, including members of healthcare organizations, public health, and community members that are looking out for their neighbors. The 2021 Community Awards at Calicoon Hills, September 30th. Tickets and information at wjffradio.org.
Welcome back to the Local Edition. I'm Patricia Rubio. Noah Kalina is a photographer living in and working in Sullivan County. And he has a new show at the Casco Art Society Satellite Gallery, The Laundry King, opening up this weekend. His work spans over 6 years and revisits locations in and around Lumberland. And Noah says to do this to observe a particular thing or place over time to see those subtle changes that occur. On the phone with us now is Noah Kalina. Noah, are you there?
Hey, I'm here. How you doing?
Doing great. Well, fumbling my words, obviously, right?
Oh, yeah, of course. You sound like me when I talk about my work.
Yeah. So you have a show coming up on September 11th on Saturday. It's called Overtime, and it's a time-based project, which was what I was trying to say in the intro. And you're no stranger to time-based projects. You're most famous for the Everyday Project, where you take a self-portrait of yourself for the past 20 years. And it's been, you know, very popular. It went viral. And this project also deals with a passage of time. You're visiting these locations in Sullivan County over a period of 6 years, and you're capturing this. You're basically capturing time, passage of time. And I just want to know, what draws you to this type of project? Or is it just naturally happening to you, or are you looking for this type of project?
Yeah, good question. I mean, I think it's about just getting into the routine and finding a spot that just seems really nice and appealing to me. It actually took quite a while to find these locations that I started photographing over the past 6 years for this show in particular. It's something like I was just walking around making photos, and I know you take photos as well. It's like you find a subject and you're not sure at first if that's the right thing. And there was something that worked with these particular locations that I kept getting drawn to. They just worked in every way, from the way the light hit it to the way the composition looked. So they just became great locations for me. They were actually also really convenient for me to make my way to. And what I like about doing projects like this is just how slow and subtle the changes are. I mean, there's obviously the seasonal changes that are pretty easy to see if it's winter and there's snow, or if it's fall and the colors are yellow and fall colored. But then there are other things that happen that I just love to see and experience, like a fallen tree or just a branch falls off of a tree. Like these little things, it's kind of sometimes almost reminds me of those. Remember when we were kids in that magazine where you'd have to like spot the changes on Scholastic? There's something about that I like, that you can just, on first glance, when you look at these photos, you just think they're all the same. But if you really give it time, just to like take the pictures in, you start noticing how different they all actually are.
Right. So it's you're spending time with your subject, basically the environment. Something, you know, it's like almost like you're hunting for the photographs, except you're not killing anything. You're just photographing the environment. And especially what I noticed is the time of day. What time are you getting out there into the field and photographing?
Yeah, usually pretty much every photo in this series is taken between sunrise and about 9 a.m. is maybe the latest. That early morning light is really what I'm after. And also, because I don't take these photos every day, the conditions almost have to be right. So they have to be taken in foggy conditions. So all of it, usually where these locations are, it's only foggy early in the morning. And so that leads to that. And then I might go months without getting a new photo, because the conditions aren't right. So I'm kind of at the whim of the weather and the conditions with that.
Right. It's like you have to catch it at the right time, and you have to be there. So
yeah, exactly.
Right. We talked earlier about your work and you know, you're creating these projects for yourself. And we talked earlier about this sort of you're having a shift in your career. And as far as you're also a commercial photographer, you've done work for New York Times and Gucci and MoMA. But it seems like we talked a little earlier that you seem like thinking about a shift in your career as far as like being more art-based and then less commercial space.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I think what's great about being a photographer is you can exist in two realms. You can exist in that commercial world and have a career with making photographs for clients that become advertising or editorials, and you can show your work and sell your prints and be an artist. And over the last year with the pandemic and my work slowing down, it actually gave me a great opportunity to sort of pivot away from the commercial work and concentrate more full time on my art practice, which has been nice. Certainly, you know, I think most people don't necessarily like working for other people. So, you know, as a commercial photographer, that's kind of what you're doing. Client work, you're working, you're essentially being told what to do. Mm-hmm. And with this is my own schedule and my own work, and I can dev- devote all of my time to it, and it's been very nice.
Right. No, definitely. It's like it's a silver lining in this pandemic for some people that they were able to sort of reflect on their work and or create new projects. And like I said, you were able to, you know, you couldn't travel because of the pandemic and everything, and work slowed down. And you're able to, you know, create this work. And you said, you realize that you're doing these time-based projects and you are creating your own project there. Now, the talk on Saturday, you have an artist talk coming up on Saturday at 3 p.m., which on Saturday opens up your show. Masks are required and proof of vaccination are required for the opening and for the artist talk. And I just wanted to ask you about that. What led to that decision? Because I think it's going to become commonplace now, but right now it's not, but... What led to the decision of requiring masks and requiring proof of vaccination?
Yeah, well, the proof of vaccination is just for the artist talk. That won't be required to come to the opening.
But okay, so just for the artist talk. Okay.
Masks. Yeah, but I mean, I want to, you know, I feel like we need to help incentivize people to get vaccinated. And if you'd like to come hear me talk in person, you just got to get vaccinated. I think it's just the right thing to do. And, you'll miss out if you're not. So I hope if anything, it encourages anyone to think about getting vaccinated if they haven't already.
Right. Now, photography is not the only thing. We have a couple of minutes here, but photography is not the only thing that you're interested in. Besides raising chickens, if you follow Noah Kalina online, you see he has a flock of chickens and rooster. But you also have a podcast and a newsletter. Do you want to talk about your podcast?
Well, the podcast is great. It's called All Consuming. And basically, a friend of mine who's a commercial video director in Los Angeles named Adam Lissagor, him and I get together every week and we discuss and quote unquote review a direct consumer product that we have been advertised on Instagram. So we'll buy something that just seems fun or useful or maybe silly, a lot of food. Last week we did a ramen bowl, and basically we sit around and we talk about the product and how it fits in our lives. But then we also just kind of get into our lives and careers and things going on and just random stories. It's a whole lot of fun and it's funny. I think if people just want to hear people talk about things that aren't too serious, you just want to have a good time for an hour. You should check out the podcast called All Consuming, and you can find that at allconsuming.show.
Awesome. Noah Kalina, thank you so much for talking with us. You said it all. You have a show coming up. Tomorrow opens up, September 11th, at the Casco Art Society at the Laundry King. Thank you for talking to us, letting us know about the show, and letting us know about your artwork, and letting us know your work.
Thank you, Patricia. Love talking to you anytime.
Definitely. Thank you again.
Yeah.
And that does it for the local edition. Thank you to our guests for tonight, Chris Raleigh from the Shawangunk Journal and Noah Kalina. His show opens up tomorrow. Thank you to Tim Bruno and Jason Dole for helping produce the show this week. And we'll be back on Monday at 6:30, checking in with Sullivan County and see what they're up to. If you ever miss a show, we have a podcast. You can find it anywhere you find your podcast on Google, Apple, Stitcher. Search for WJFF, the local edition, and subscribe, share it, tell your friends. Find us on social media, WJFFradio.org. We post every Monday to Friday at 4 p.m. on Who's the Show. On Who's? We post every day at 4 p.m. on Who's on the Show that evening. So if you want to know who's on the show, follow us on social media and always be in the know. And follow us online. And check out our website, WJFFradio.org. You've been listening to The Local Edition. I'm Patricia Rubio. Thank you again. We'll be back on Monday. Coming up, we have the mixtape. Have a good night, Lucy, and everyone have a safe weekend.
Rare Pair Radio. It's a weekly showcase of primarily female artists, but also a wide range of avant-garde musicians, the fruit of post-punk, experimental, and fringe music.
Your eyes are set on stars. I love to see you shine because you really blow my mind.
Rare Pair Radio, Friday at 8 p.m.